I believe this morning we are turning to the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 18. Actually, we spent a little bit of time here last week in verses 15 through 17. And today we're going to pick up at verse number 21 and read through verse number 35, a very familiar and a very profound portion of Scripture. Matthew 18, starting at verse number 21. If you have your place, let me hear you say amen. Amen. Let's stand while God's Word is being read here this morning. Then Peter came to Jesus and asked, "Lord, how many times shall I forgive my brother when he sins against me? Up to seven times?" Jesus answered, "I tell you, not seven times, but 77 times. Therefore, the kingdom of heaven is like a king who wanted to settle accounts with his servants. As he began the settlement, a man who owed him 10,000 talents was brought to him. Since he was not able to pay, the master ordered that he and his wife and his children and all that he had be sold to repay the debt. The servant fell on his knees before him. 'Be patient with me,' he begged, 'and I will pay back everything.' The servant's master took pity on him, canceled the debt, and let him go. But when that servant went out, he found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 denarii. He grabbed him and began to choke him. 'Pay back what you owe me,' he demanded. His fellow servant fell to his knees and begged him, 'Be patient with me, and I will pay you back.' But he refused. Instead, he went off and had the man thrown into prison until he could pay the debt. When the other servants saw what had happened, they were greatly distressed and went and told their master everything that had happened. Then the master called the servant in. 'You wicked servant,' he said. 'I canceled all that debt of yours because you begged me to. Shouldn't you have had mercy on your fellow servant just as I had on you?' In anger, his master turned him over to the jailers to be tortured until he should pay back all he owed. This is how my heavenly Father will treat each of you unless you forgive your brother from your heart." Let's pray. Father, here we are today, learning this lesson of forgiveness again. You're putting it here before us, and you are teaching us something here today. May we all walk away from here today with a heart that in some way has been transformed by the power of your forgiveness, that our heart can be transformed, that we can go on out and do the same. To you be the glory, and I ask this in the name of your Son, Jesus. Amen. And you may be seated. We are in a sermon series on taming the tongue, and we have talked about the good things that our tongue should be saying. And we covered all those things: encouraging other people, encouraging other Christians, sharing the gospel with an unsaved world. All those things would be good things that could come out of our mouths. But we did say this also, that taming the tongue included many forms of communication, not only the spoken word, but all ways that we communicate. And we have lots of electronic media today in which we communicate. We talked about the negative things that we shouldn't be saying, words of discouragement. And we covered all of those also several weeks ago. We covered fake news, not only from the speaking end of it, but more from the receiving end of it. Can we discern the difference between what is true and what is not true? Because we never know what kind of words are going to flow from the lips of other people. The last 2 weeks we talked about words of judgment, that there are people that we are to judge, and there are times when we are not to judge. We covered all that. Today, we're going to cover one more aspect of taming the tongue. Speaking words of forgiveness. If there is a topic that is probably the most difficult for Christians to model, for Christians to do, it is forgiving other people. So we're going to talk about forgiveness here today. And maybe we'll all learn a lesson, or maybe getting a little bit closer to being able to do what God and Jesus has not only asked us to do, but has commanded us to do. Most of you know that I teach a reboot combat recovery class every Tuesday night at the Rockfish Valley Community Center. It's a 12-week program. We have completed 6 weeks, and in our last class this past Tuesday night was the topic of forgiveness. Obviously, the authors of the reboot program have thought that the topic of forgiveness is significant enough that it will help combat veterans who are suffering from PTSD to manage to get past their PTSD. The reason I'm a part of the reboot program is because it is a very biblically Christian-based program. And you can see that the more you go through it. This past Tuesday night, the topic of forgiveness. Or as they put it, they kind of put it in a negative view. The actual title of the lesson was The Cost of Unforgiveness. What happens when we do not forgive? And the thrust of the lesson was very simple. One way, if you're going to get past your PTSD, if you're going to get past that traumatic experience that you had, one of the pieces to that puzzle is going to be you need to be able to forgive. It's amazing how we learn and how we can grow and get past different events in our lives. But this I will say for sure. There are individuals, Christians, maybe some sitting in here, who never get past forgiving somebody. It keeps them bitter. It keeps them angry. It keeps them planting and plotting revenge. As it was said in the class Tuesday night, well, Mike, you don't understand what I have been through. You don't understand my circumstances. You don't understand what this person did to me. And they're right. I don't. And maybe there's some of you in here that are saying the same thing. But Mike, you don't understand my ex-spouse and what he or she did to me. Or when I was growing up, what my father, mother, grandfather, etc., 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 had done to me when I was growing up. I just can't get past it, and I can't forgive. I'm here to pass the word of God along to all of us. We need to forgive. In the Gospel of John, chapter 10, verse 10, I believe we're all familiar with that verse. Jesus says actually two opposite things in that verse. And I'm going to go through it here in a second. He says this, and then he says this. He says this up front. The enemy, and we know who he's talking about, Satan, has come to steal and to kill and destroy. I think we all understand that. He has come to steal, kill, and destroy. But there's a but in that verse 10. But I have come that you may have life and have life abundantly. There are too many Christians today who do not have abundant life because they prefer to be bitter, they prefer to be angry, they prefer to be revengeful because they prefer not to forgive. They like that silver bullet right here in their holster. That every time they think about that person or that situation, they can just pull it out, put it in their gun, and they are ready to shoot. As the person said on Tuesday night, Mike, you don't understand what they did to me. I don't. But I understand forgiveness. And we need to make a choice. Do we want Satan in our lives to kill, to steal, and destroy us from the inside out and let that bitterness and anger well up in the midst of each and every one of us? Or would we rather make the other choice and live life abundantly as Jesus has promised? And I can't help thinking that when Jesus gives us those two options, the difference between this one and this one is forgiveness. It's going to make a difference if we let Satan steal our life and destroy our life, or if we let Jesus let us live a life of abundance. We have a very interesting parable that Jesus gives here in front of us. And here we have our friend Peter. Peter thinks he's going to go out on a limb. Jesus, how many times should I forgive my brother when he sins against me? Up to seven times? Now you might think, well, what's so great about that? Well, back in those days, it was a Jewish custom, tradition, that forgiveness would only be given up to three times. So let's say, for instance, that Dave has done something to hurt me. He comes to me, he asks for forgiveness. I forgive him. It happens again. I forgive him a second time. It happens again. I forgive him a third time. But in those days, that would be it. Sorry, Dave. If it happens a fourth time, you are not going to be forgiven. And here's our friend Peter thinking, well, I'm going to go above and beyond three. And I'm going to say, Jesus, how about if I go up to seven times? And we all know Jesus' response, don't we? He doesn't say, Peter, not seven times, but 77 times. Or some Bibles say seven times 70 times. And we all know what God is, or we all know what Jesus is saying, don't we? He's saying this, if Dave comes up to you for the 531st time and he asks for me to forgive him, what do I need to do? I need to forgive him. Jesus says there isn't any limitation on how many times we forgive somebody who has wronged us. And here's the thing. Here's the thing that makes Christians bitter. Some people have only wronged us one time in our lives, and by golly, we are still resentful and bitter about that one time, and we are not going to forgive them, because sometimes we just like wallowing in our bitterness and our anger. It's a whole lot more fun than telling the other person, "I forgive you." There are four avenues of forgiveness, and they are listed in your bulletin. First of all, there is a definition of forgiveness, or the verb to forgive, here in your bulletin. And there are no sermon notes. You can write what you want. But these definitions come out of Webster's Dictionary. To forgive. Definition number one, to cease to feel resentment against, such as to forgive one's enemies. Okay? In the case of Dave and I, David has said something to me, and when I forgive him, I no longer feel resentment against him. Definition number one. Definition number two, to grant relief from payment of, such as to forgive a debt. Underneath those are four different avenues of forgiveness. Let's talk about number one. God forgives us. Now, there's a little caveat on that I certainly want to mention. Does he forgive everybody? No, he does not forgive anybody. Everybody. He only forgives those who have come to him through who? Jesus. Amen. He's only going to forgive Christians or any unbeliever who wants to come to Christ and ask for forgiveness of his or her sins. Forgiveness from God is free, and he freely gives. He forgives a debt. Do we realize how big of a debt we have towards God with our sin? Do we ever think about and measure that? You know, one sin and we have become enemies of God. And yet we take God's forgiveness sometimes rather lightly. But God forgives us of a debt that we cannot ever pay, just like the first servant in our parable here this morning. He owed 10,000 talents. And somebody says that that's just an amount of money that you just can't even imagine. And so is our sin. There is nothing we could ever do. No amount of works, no amount of prayers, no amount of rosaries, no amount of mission trips, no amount of lighting candles, no amount of any of those things that we could ever do to atone for our sins, to make up for it on our own. It's as easy as this. If we confess our sins, 1 John 1:9, that Jesus is faithful to forgive us of all of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That only happens through a relationship with Jesus Christ. So the first question obviously needs to be this. If we want God to forgive us, where do you stand with Jesus Christ? Are you a follower of Jesus? Have you committed your life to Jesus? Do you know for beyond a shadow of a doubt that when you leave the face of this earth, you are going to spend eternity with him, because he is your Lord and your Savior? God forgives us of a debt that we could never pay, which leads us to point number two. We are to forgive others. Here's where it starts getting a little difficult. And I love the analogy that Jesus gives in this little parable. The master forgave the first servant 10,000 talents. Forgave it. Canceled the whole thing. Go on your way. You're free. And what does the first servant do to his servant? He only owed 100 denarii. One denarii is about one day's wage. 100 denarii, what's that? 3 months' wages. Hardly anything. And the first servant couldn't do it for the second servant. But we are to forgive others, are we not? That's the whole gist of this parable. If God has forgiven us of a debt that we cannot repay, shouldn't we forgive others of debts that are much smaller than that. But Mike, you don't know what she did to me. You don't know what he did to me. You don't realize what I've been putting up with for 30, 40, 50, 60, 70 years, they say as they shake their finger at me. I'll just get back to what I said earlier. I'm not telling you to do it. Jesus is telling us to do it, to forgive. Because it's like this thing that we have inside us that keeps on gnawing away. Every time we think of John Doe and we remember what John Doe did to us or Jane Doe or whoever it was, here comes this gnawing from down within inside us and we keep on thinking, that's okay, I got my bullet right here because I haven't forgiven him and I ain't going to forgive him either. Well, when we think about forgiving others, we need to think about the debt that has been canceled on our account. That the sins that we have accumulated and continue to accumulate have been not only forgiven, but forgotten as far as the East is from the West. Now, we might not forget what John Doe did, but we need to forgive John Doe. We forgive others. If Dave, sorry Dave, you're just there, okay? If Dave keeps on coming to me tomorrow, forgive me. I need to forgive him the next day. Now, there might come a time when I just kind of don't associate with Dave anymore because this stuff's getting a little on the old side, but that's not the point. The point is this, every time he comes to me and asks to be forgiven, it's what I must do. It's what I must do. Avenue number three, others forgive us. Others forgive us. This one's a little tricky. Others forgive us. Well, that would apply to like Dave. If Dave came to me, point number two, I need to forgive him, but he's coming to me anticipating that I will forgive him because others forgive us, and I would do that. But let me share a quick story with you of how I kind of played this whole thing out with others forgive us. It was the summer of 1984, and my cousin Susie was getting married back in Pittsburgh. And Gail and I and our family, our daughter had just been born there in May of 1984, and this was like June or July. We went up to go to the wedding. So Gail stayed at home with the kids, and me and my family, we went to the wedding, my cousin Susan's wedding, and it was held at this big Catholic church, and right there at the church there was a nice social hall, and there was going to be a reception there. So went to the wedding, went to the reception, and the reception had just started, and trust me, at a Catholic reception, the alcohol, it would be flowing, my friends, it was flowing. The beer and the wine, it was flowing. But something happened. Something happened, and somebody from my family, I don't know who it wasn't me, went up to try to get a drink. And they said, for the time being, the bar is closed. Well, that offended this person in my family, whoever it was, and he came back and he told the whole table of the Owen family that he had been turned down at the bar because they wouldn't serve him because the bar was closed down. And for some reason, our whole family decided that we are going to walk out of this place because they're not going to serve us alcoholic beverages when we want served alcoholic beverages. The whole table. The party hasn't even gotten started yet. And here's the whole Owen family, each and every one of us. Somebody was offended and all the rest of us just walking away like little sheep right after them. Okay, whatever they're doing, guess that's what we're going to do too. And then, of course, we all jump on the the alcohol ban bandwagon, right, as we're talking and going home, and it's the only thing that could be discussed when we got home. It's the only thing that could be discussed the year later, and the year later, and the year later, and the year later. It got so bad, Gail asked me one time, when are you guys going to quit talking about your cousin Susan's wedding? And she was right. Until one day, in 1994, 10 years later, I get saved. And I learn about forgiveness. And I thought, that was rude. That was my cousin's wedding. That was her special day. That wasn't my special day. That was her special day. I need to apologize. Others forgive us. I was the other, and I needed somebody else to forgive me. When my mother passed away in 2001, there I was at the funeral home, and here comes my cousin Susan walking in. And she offered her condolences for the passing of my mother. And then I told her, and I said, thank you. And I said, Susie, I need to apologize to you. And I need you to forgive me. I said, 17 years ago, I walked out of your wedding over an issue about alcohol. It was your special day. And I ruined your special day. So I'm apologizing. She looked at me. Tears start running down her eyes. And she gave me this big hug and she said, I forgive you, Mike. I forgive you. And guess what? The burden's gone. The burden's gone. When I think about walking out of my cousin Susan's wedding, I don't think about walking out over alcohol. I think about the time of forgiveness. That whole situation's been healed. It's done. It's over with. I refuse to talk about it anymore unless I talk about the forgiveness part of it. And then I found her father, who, of course, was there at the day of the wedding and the day of my mother's funeral, and I went up to him and I apologized to him. Uncle Dick, I walked out of your daughter's marriage, her reception 17 years ago, and I'm apologizing to you. He did the same thing. Hugged me, forgave me. It's all over. Others forgive us. But that only happens under one condition. There is something eating away at us that we need to confess to somebody else. Maybe I did something to Dave and it's been eating away at me, so I need to go to Dave and ask him, confess to him, and ask him to forgive me. And hopefully, if he's any kind of Christian, he will. And that leads us to avenue number four. We forgive ourselves. Oh boy. Oh gee. Oh gee. Remember that thing that you did? Remember that thing that you said? And you just can't get past it. And even though you and that other person, maybe you're all good buddy buddies now and you're all friends, but for some reason you just can't get over it. Let me give you some very helpful advice. If you can forgive others, and if God can forgive you, you need to forgive yourself. I believe when Jesus says here, this is how my heavenly Father will treat you unless you forgive your brother from your heart. Okay, he's talking specifically about another person. But what if he's talking when he says you need to forgive others? Maybe generically in that whole others thing is us, that we need to forgive ourselves. How could I have been so stupid to say that? How could I have been so ignorant to do that? We've all done it. We have. Make a choice. Do you want Satan to come and steal, kill, and destroy your walk, your life? Or would you rather hear the other words of Jesus when he says this, I have come to give you life and give you life abundantly. Let me think about this here a second. My life can be stolen, killed, and destroyed. Or I can have abundant life. What direction you want to go? It's a no-brainer, isn't it? But it all hinges on this one thing. What have you done with forgiveness? What have you done with forgiveness? And Jesus says this in that final line in verse 35. This is how my heavenly Father will treat you unless you forgive your brother. Where? From your heart. From your heart. From your heart, that means this. You got to mean it when you say it. Oh, I could go up to Dave and say, Dave, I forgive you. I forgive you. Dave, I forgive you. And maybe it's just words, I forgive you. But deep inside, I still got that bullet right here that has Dave's name written on it. Go ahead, Dave. Next time, I put this in my gun and we're going out and we're going to have a couple rounds here. Or does it mean it's from the heart? Dave? I forgive you, brother. And we move on. From the heart. Anybody can talk the talk, can repeat the words, and say what they want to say. But is it coming from here? If we are going to tame the tongue, one of the things that we got to do is speak words that really carry an awful lot of weight. And those words are this. Words of forgiveness. Words of forgiveness. The master wasn't very happy here. The master expected servant number one to go on out and do exactly what he did. Hey, I've forgiven you your debt. You couldn't pay back this debt. The least you could do would be to forgive the other servant and forgive his debt, which was a whole lot less. This isn't a suggestion. Forgiveness is a command. And the only way we're going to remember that, and the only way we're going to go out and forgive others when they need to be forgiven is if we remember the weight of the sin that we all have that has been forgiven by God through the blood of Jesus Christ on the cross. Our sin carries a whole lot more weight than what that person did to you 50 years ago. As I said on Tuesday night at my reboot class, it's the very last words of the lesson. Get over it and do it. And that's what we need to do. Got a challenge for you this week. On the inside of your bulletin, this is up to you. You do this how you want to do this. There's a little box kind of with dotted lines around it. Today, I am deciding to forgive. How do you want to fill that in? Whose names or name do you need to put on there? Today, not tomorrow. Today, I decide to forgive John Doe, Jane Doe, that abusive uncle that I had. That did terrible things to me when I was younger. Or as we talked about in the reboot, those people, those Iraqis who planted those mines, who blew off my left leg. Who are you going to choose to forgive today? Make a choice, because here's the end results. When you choose not to forgive, and by the way, here's an interesting fact. Unforgiveness, did you know there is no such word as unforgiveness? Try looking it up in a dictionary. There is no word as unforgiveness. Choosing not to forgive means that Satan has come to steal, kill, and destroy, and he's winning. Choosing to forgive means that Christ has come to give me life and give me life abundantly. Which path do you want to walk from this day forward? Not to forgive or to forgive? Maybe some of us have a name or two, or maybe we just put this up here. Today I am deciding to forgive myself. And maybe that's the only word you put on there. You do what you need to do with that. I just want to put a reminder in front of all of us that today is a day that we need to do something with forgiveness. Maybe make a phone call. Maybe send an email. Maybe write a letter. Maybe go pay a visit. Whatever that means, I don't know what's going on with you. I know what I need to do. I don't know what you need to do. May I suggest today will be the day where you have life abundantly in Jesus Christ because you have chosen to forgive. Let's pray.